Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, why Jaden McDaniels was snubbed for the All-NBA, well, the All-Defensive Team, the NBA All-Defensive Team, and also an overall look at the NBA Awards, how I voted in the Locked On voting, how the Locked On voting turned out compared to the actual real-life NBA Awards voting. We're going to break it all down on the show here today. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves. Your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend. And a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find this show. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app. That's along with all the other Minnesota Locked On podcasts you can find on the app on Roku or Amazon Fire TV. More great local sports coverage 24/7 for free. Download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app today on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at B Beacon. And that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. So I was going to do the JD McDaniels season review show today. That's how we've been going, is doing a player a day now here. We just have McDaniels, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Anthony Edwards to go. However, in the process of researching numbers for Jaden McDaniels, I decided I really needed to do an NBA awards show because, well, this week the NBA all defensive teams were announced. Jaden McDaniels missed, and I voted for him when it came to the Locked On NBA. We did all the hosts voted on NBA awards, and I realized that we haven't really talked a whole lot about awards on the show. So I'd like to start with that. I want to start with McDaniels and the all-defensive team because I do think that's the most interesting one to discuss anyway. But it has the most obvious Timberwolves slant. I don't think you could make a serious argument for any other Wolves to win any other awards or even really vote to be on the ballot for any other awards, frankly. So I want to start with the all-defensive team. But we'll go through all the awards, and I want to list kind of what I voted and then what the NBA Locked On NBA hosts overall voted, and then who the actual winners and runners-up are for each category. So we're going to do all that here today. Let's start, though, with the NBA All-Defensive Teams, which were announced a little bit earlier this week. And let's just start with who actually won or who actually made it onto the teams. Of course, Jaren Jackson Jr. did win the overall Defensive Player of the Year for Memphis. But the actual teams, the all-defensive first team, Jaren Jackson Jr. from Memphis, Jrue Holiday from Milwaukee, Brooke Lopez from Milwaukee, Evan Mobley with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Alex Caruso on the Bulls. The second team, Derek White from the Boston Celtics, and Dylan Brooks are the two guards. I should have read it that way. But Dylan Brooks and Derek White are the two guards. Draymond Green and OG Anunoby are the forwards, and Bam Adebayo is the center. Now, Locked On hosts voted. Let's see. I want to make sure I don't mix up how Locked On hosts voted versus how I voted. Locked On, here we go. Locked On hosts voted actually the exact same first team. It's remarkable. We got it collectively exactly right. Holiday, Caruso in the backcourt, Jaren Jackson Jr., Evan Mobley as forwards, and Brooke Lopez at center. So Locked On hosts aligned with the actual voting with the first team. Second team is very close. The backcourt that Locked On hosts had was Smart and Brooks. The forwards were Giannis and Draymond Green, and the center was Joel Embiid. So actually, it wasn't all that close. So the differences there are Derek White, because why? I'm like, I don't know. We'll get into that in a second. Derek White, and instead, his teammate Marcus Smart made it onto this team. Dylan Brooks was on the Locked On NBA host team as well. Giannis was on the Locked On NBA host team. He did not make it onto. He was the next forward with others receiving votes. Did not make it onto the actual team. Draymond was on both, and then instead of Adebayo, Locked On hosts had Joel Embiid. I don't have the others receiving votes list for all Locked On hosts for some reason. I guess that's not part of what I was sent. So I can't speak to how close the battle between Embiid and Adebayo was. But I can tell you who I voted for NBA defensive teams. I voted for Jrue Holiday and Alex Caruso for the first team. I voted for also Evan Mobley. I had Giannis on my first team all defensive and Bam Adebayo on my all team first on my defensive team. My second team, I had Marcus Smart and Lou Dort. And then I had Jaden McDaniels, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Nick Claxton. I should point out there was an error on our ballot for the host. Jaren Jackson Jr. was listed as a forward and not a center. So otherwise he would have gotten second team, or he would have gotten the vote for center for first team for me, instead of second team forward. So the host ballots were very close. Actually, here we go. Here's the others receiving votes. Claxton and Adebayo actually tied to be right after Joel Embiid, 1 point behind for the second team. So that was very close. Jaden McDaniels was behind OG Anunoby. So very similar to how it actually played out, right? In real life, it was Anunoby making it, Giannis, and then Jaden McDaniels. On the Locked On ballot, it was Giannis making it, then Anunoby and McDaniels being the next one out. There were two Locked On hosts that voted for McDaniels for all defensive first team and eight that voted for him for all defensive second team. I was one of the eight that voted for him for second team. Now, part of the problem here is the way that the NBA does the ballots, and I believe this is going away now. The position designations are going away because I don't think either Derek White or Dylan Brooks really should have been on this team, certainly not ahead of Giannis and Jaden McDaniels, right? Because I think so much of this is it depends on who you're guarding on a nightly basis. And Giannis and Jaden McDaniels are two guys that guard anybody, right? They're not only guarding point guards. Like, I don't think you're often putting Derek White and Dylan Brooks. Well, actually, here, we have some numbers. We can look at those. So I pulled up the B-Ball Index numbers on who the matchups are. We talked about this earlier this year, how Jaden McDaniels guards essentially the toughest assignment almost every night. Jaden McDaniels guarded a usage tier one offensive player 35% of the time this year. That's the 99th percentile. Dylan Brooks defended a usage tier one player also 40% of the time. So 100th percentile. So actually slightly higher, a few tenths of a percentage point higher than Jaden McDaniels for a usage tier one player. Usage tier two, Jaden McDaniels guarded 20% of the time. Brooks only guarded them 17% of the time. Usage tier three, McDaniels guarded them 11.6% and Brooks 12.8%. So it's actually pretty close in terms of each tier. But the versatility of what McDaniels does, mostly because of his size, is superior to what Dylan Brooks does. I don't think there's any question about that. Almost any defensive catch-all metric would agree that Jaden McDaniels is a better defensive player than Dylan Brooks. We could actually, if you just want to pick off individual categories, we could look at steal rate, block rate, and that would help us there. Block rate for Dylan Brooks, because again, the size and who he's guarding, was a 0.7 this season. 0.7%. He had a 1.4% steal rate. McDaniels had a 2.7 block rate and a 1.5% steal rate. So a significantly higher block rate. And actually, if we want to dig in, and I'm comparing these because I think Brooks is the least deserving to be on the team. You can make the case for Derek White too, but I think Brooks is the least deserving. I'm not going to argue about those other guys. Like Bam, yeah. I mean, I had him on my first team. Like, he should be on there. I get that. Anunoby, yeah, I'm good with that. Draymond Green, yeah, I'm good with that. Derek White and Dylan Brooks are the two that stand out to me as perhaps a mistake that they're on this team. But again, they're both guards. So I understand why McDaniels didn't make the team, because the way that the rules are, he would have had to make it over Draymond, OG Anunoby, Evan Mobley, or Jaren Jackson Jr. And that wasn't going to happen. So I get why McDaniels wasn't on there, but I had found a way to put him on my ballot. And I do think he was one of the 10 best defensive players in the league this season, but because of the position designations, that's why he got left off. Real quick, the B-ball index numbers, Dylan Brooks, there's several marks there that McDaniels is just far better. And there's no question about it. Like, we could start with, well, I don't know. We could go on down the list. On ball perimeter defense, McDaniels has an A+. On B ball index, Brooks is an A. So yeah, Dylan Brooks was good. Jaden McDaniels was better. Real adjusted turnover rate, Brooks was slightly better, a B to a B minus. Loose ball, well, that's kind of a convoluted one. A pickpocket rating, they were both a C. Passing lane defense, McDaniels was a B, Brooks was a B minus. 3-point contests per 75 possessions, McDaniels was a C plus, 3.4 per game or per 75 possessions. Brooks was only was a D minus, 2.6 per 75 possessions. Steals per 75 possessions and deflections per 75 possessions. McDaniels was better in each of those, a B plus. Brooks was only a B. Ball screen navigation, we talked about this a couple times this season. McDaniels was basically the best in the league, got an A plus, 99th percentile, plus 2.53 in that. Brooks was also an A plus, 98th percentile, plus 2.11. So of all these categories, there's only two that Brooks had a very slight edge over Jaden McDaniels of, what is this? There are, I think, 14 categories in perimeter defense. McDaniels had an edge in six. Brooks had an edge in two, and they were basically the same in the rest of them. So if we just want to do that, say McDaniels is better. Obviously, interior defense, he's going to grade out much better as a rim protector. B's, B pluses, A's, A pluses, and Brooks in those categories is all over the map. But for the most part, C's and B's. So all the defensive metrics that people index would suggest, and the usage tiers are basically even again, would suggest that Jaden McDaniels should have been on the all NBA defensive team over Dylan Brooks. But again, it's the position thing and there's only so much you could do. So I'm okay with him not being on the team, but this is my reasoning for why he's a top 10 NBA defensive player, because the usage tier stuff is there. He guards the best players. And the production is there. It's completely on par with these other guys. And I didn't dig into Derek White. But anyway, that's how my ballot played out. I think McDaniels should have found a way onto the team. And when they remove these position designations here in the near future, he's going to start making it. Well, actually, at some point, it's not going to matter. And before the season, we talked about Anthony Edwards as somebody who really should make a run at all NBA defensive teams. So we'll see if that happens next year as well. I should say, Edwards did get a couple votes. He got one first-team vote and two second-team votes, was on the ballot, at kind of middle of the pack in terms of other players receiving votes. Rudy Gobert did not receive a single vote. I mentioned that the other day. I think it was on Thursday. So no votes for Gobert, four total points for Edwards, one first-team vote, two second-team votes, and McDaniels had 40 total points, three first-team votes, 34 second-team votes behind Giannis and the other players for forwards. But not far behind Dylan Brooks and Bam Adebayo in terms of overall votes received for the award. All right, let's go through the other awards. I'll talk about who I voted for, especially for MVP. And then ultimately, and also all rookie, I think is interesting. And then also who actually won the awards and how the Locked On hosts voted. So we'll do all that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends over at eBay Motors. For a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can be sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know the part will fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit, only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, Everydayers will be back next week. So we're still on a Monday through Friday rhythm, and we are going to talk. We still have to do the Jaden McDaniels show. So we'll dig a bit further into some of these defensive numbers as well. Talk about lineup data, et cetera. We'll do Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns next week. We have an exciting national guest scheduled for late next week. That will likely be Friday's show. So more to come on that once we actually get it recorded and it's ready to, you know, queued up and ready to go. So a big week next week, a lot to get to. So make sure to tune back in for that. And, you know, we'll talk McDaniels, Towns, Edwards next week. It'll be a lot of fun. All right, let's continue on down talking about the NBA awards, who I voted for these different awards and who ultimately won the awards. Let's do MVP next, because that is, I don't know, it's exciting. Everyone wants to talk MVP, right? So obviously Joel Embiid won after Jokic winning consecutive seasons. So the voting went Embiid, won pretty easily. Jokic, he had 915 total points. He got 73 of the 100 first place votes, or I guess there were only, what, 98 technically, right? Am I doing that math right? Oh, no, there were 100. 98 of the, or excuse me, goodness, 73 of the 100 first place votes. Jokic got 15 first place votes. Giannis still got 12 first place votes. So Embiid got 915 total points, Jokic 674, and Giannis 606 total points. Tatum was the only other player to receive a third place vote. And he had one third place vote, a bunch of fourth place votes, ended up with 280 points. So those were the four players that were in double figures, or excuse me, double figures, triple figures, over 100 total points, was Embiid, Jokic, Giannis, and then a distant fourth, Jason Tatum. My ballot, or let's do the locked on ballot first. The locked on ballot for MVP, Joel Embiid also won. He obviously, we only had, 39 votes or 39 voters or something. So he had 339 total points, but I'll do this by first place votes. He got 24 first place votes out of 39. So 24 of 39, which is a pretty similar ratio. Jokic only had 10 first place votes. Giannis had 5. And similarly, the only other, there were two other players that got third place votes. So it went Embiid, Jokic, relatively close to Jokic was Giannis, just like in real life. Tatum got a third place vote, and Donovan Mitchell got a third place vote in our balloting as well. Those are the only other players to receive third place votes. So the overall went Embiid, Jokic, Giannis, distant fourth Jason Tatum, just like the actual voting did. And then after that, it went distant fifth Mitchell, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander close to that, and then a big drop-off. Only other players that got votes, Domantas Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, Luka Doncic, and Julius Randle got one fourth place vote. In real life, similar. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was fifth, then Donovan Mitchell, Sabonis, Doncic, Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, De'Aaron Fox, Jalen Brunson, and John Morant got a fifth place vote in MVP voting in real life. My ballot, I actually had it very close to the actual real life ballot, but I flipped Jokic and Embiid. And I don't know what the feelings of Timberwolves fans are about this, but I'm calling it as I see it. I had Jokic first for his third consecutive MVP. I thought, and I'll give a real quick reasoning here. I just thought he was the all-around better player this year, and that's what MVP is. And if you want to play the, supporting cast game, like, oh, if you remove this player from the team, how do they perform? I get James Harden was hurt and only played like 58 games or whatever. He was still really good when he played. He was far better than Jamal Murray was this year. Jamal Murray didn't really find his sea legs early in the season, understandably so. And the rest of there's a reason Denver only won, I think it was 53 games, because the rest of their roster wasn't great this season. They weren't consistent. Like, Aaron Gordon was a good defender and Murray had his moments, but like, it wasn't the James Harden, there wasn't a James Harden coming to the rescue in Denver. And he, not that he like came, quote unquote, came to the rescue in Philly, but like, they had James Harden to fall back on and he was fantastic for the Sixers this year. So if you want to play that game, like who's actually most valuable to their team, I still think Jokic has that edge. If you want to go category by category, but we could play that game too. And Embiid had a fantastic season. So to be very clear, I'm not taking anything away from Embiid, but like, Jokic had a better rebound rate. He had a far better assist rate, more than twice the assist rate. He had a better steal rate. He had, the shooting numbers were all better in terms of efficiency, better true shooting. I know that Embiid, obviously he's going to win the block shot number. He's definitely a better defender. And that to me is really the only, I think, defensible argument. I know he averaged 33 a game, but like, Jokic averaged a million assists per game. So we could play that game too. But like, Embiid only shot 33% from three this year and he got to the line a ton. But his 3-point shot wasn't where it had been in the past, whereas Jokic has improved from outside the arc, and the overall true shooting and effective field goal numbers favor Jokic. So offensively, across the board, except for points per game, you would say that Jokic was the better player this year. Defensively, you'd say Embiid was obviously the better player. So I absolutely don't mind the votes for Embiid. There's a reason he won the award, right? I get it. I would have still voted Jokic. I did vote Jokic in our poll, and I had Embiid second. Embiid had a phenomenal season. I just think Jokic was still the better player, and that's how I had it on my ballot. The rest of my ballot was pretty close to the actual ballot. Let's see, who got third? Giannis got third. I had Giannis third on my ballot. I had Tatum fifth on my ballot. I actually had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander fourth. In real life, Tatum got fourth and SGA got fifth. But there were six people in real life that voted Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for fourth. I had him fourth on my ballot. In our lockdown ballot, there were 5 votes for him to get fourth and 7 for him to get fifth. SGA, by the way, also did make an All-NBA first team, which he deserved. And I was happy to see that happen. So anyway, I was glad that's how it went down for SGA, because I thought, like, on some level, obviously it matters what team performance looks like, but when it comes to, you know, these types of awards, but he absolutely should have been recognized for how good he was this season. Let's see, which award should we do next? We talked about defense already. Let's talk about most improved player. Most improved player award should not have been all that controversial, and I don't know that it was. But Lauri Markkanen, of course, did win the award. But I think the balloting process is still pretty interesting. He got first with 430 points. SGA got second with 289, and then a big drop off to Jalen Brunson, third. In our locked on voting, it was Markkanen, SGA, big drop off, and then Jalen Brunson, same thing. And in my voting individually, I had Markkanen. I actually had my other votes. So SGA and Jalen Brunson were already, in my mind, stars before this season. So I did not have them on my ballot. I had Markkanen first because I think he went from basically somebody who just was getting traded around. Like, everybody was nervous about extending him. Like, what's going to happen with Markkanen? Nobody thought he was going to be an all-star, and he became an all-star. So that's why he's first. But SGA and Brunson, in my mind, were already stars, and they just continued to expand on that. Brunson just did it in a more visible place. Not that Dallas is a small market, but he did. And then SGA was just so good this year, but he was already really good. And so I think the jump is further for some of these other guys. So I actually voted Tyrese Haliburton second. I was one of two Locked On hosts to do that. And I voted Mikal Bridges third. Bridges did finish fourth in our overall most improved voting, and Haliburton finished fifth. So I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but that's how I voted. In real life, Bridges got fourth and actually did get a first place vote and a second place vote. Haliburton also got a first place and second place vote in real life and finished sixth in the voting. So not insane. I wasn't completely insane there, but that was my take. A little bit different than where others had it. Next, I want to go and I want to talk. We did defensive team. Let's do all NBA teams. Well, that's how we'll close the show. I think that's the other big one. And some of the others are obvious: coach of the year, et cetera. You know, obviously Mike Brown. So we'll do all NBA team. That's how we'll close the show. All right, all NBA teams this year: first team, second team, third team. There's a lot of names here, so I'm not going to like belabor too much of this. But I want to hit the high points. The all NBA first team, as actually voted this year, was Giannis. Well, we'll do guards: SGA, Luka Doncic. One guards, forwards: Giannis and Jason Tatum. Center: Joel Embiid. The locked on voting, the same: SGA, Doncic, Embiid, and then Giannis and Tatum. My voting, Well, let's see what I have here. I had Doncic and SGA. I had Giannis and Jason Tatum, and I had Jokic as my first team center. So, pretty in line, other than the center. And let's see, how close was that? In locked on voting, our centers were relatively close: 168 points for Embiid, 136 for Jokic, and in real life, also close: 364 to 474. So relatively close. Second team in real life: Mitchell and Curry, Butler and Jaylen Brown, and Jokic at center. The locked on voting: Mitchell and Curry, Durant and Brown at forward, and Jokic at center. So the difference there obviously being Jimmy Butler, and then Butler did make the third team for locked on. My second team voting, I had Mitchell and Jalen Brunson on the second team. I had DeMar DeRozan and Jimmy Butler at forward, and I had Joel Embiid at center. So I got Butler, Mitchell, and then Embiid, who was in the first team in real life, quote unquote, right there. But a little bit different. Brunson, by the way, was a weird pick that I made because he only got 18 total votes. He did have two first team votes in locked on voting. In real life, Brunson was under others receiving votes. He had 23 points, so did not make any of the three teams. I had him on my second team. The third team in real life: guards, De'Aaron Fox and Damian Lillard; forwards, Randall, LeBron, and center, Domantas Sabonis. And the locked on team had Lillard and Fox, Butler and LeBron, and Sabonis at center. So again, very close, with Butler and Kevin Durant being the ones that were flipped. Well, I guess not flipped, because Durant didn't make the overall team. Again, lack of games would be the reason. On my ballot, I subscribe to a similar theory when it comes to number of games, but I also had Lillard. I had Harden in my backcourt. I know he didn't play a ton of games, but I thought, again, he was really good when he played, especially given how he looked for parts of last season. I did have Markkanen and Julius Randle as my forwards and Bam Adebayo as my center instead of Sabonis. So my teams were a little bit different, but I think overall, Markkanen did get 24 points. Randle was close. Like, Randle and Markkanen were the next two forwards that didn't make it on the locked on ballot too. So in general, though, I think number of games is what really impacted with Durant. It's what impacted with Harden. Barely anybody voted for James Harden. He got 1 second place vote and 3 third place votes in locked on. And then he was, again, under others receiving votes with only 6 total votes in NBA, and I had him on my third team. So that's lack of games with Kevin Durant. I understand that argument. I just thought he was good enough in the games he played, even more so than Kevin Durant, that he deserved to make it. In the actual voting, Anthony Edwards did receive some votes. He ended up with 14 total points. They don't actually have the link to the specific voting on the NBA website for some reason, so I don't know how many like second and third team votes he got. But he had 14 total points, which was more than, say, Jaren Jackson, more than DeMar DeRozan, Mikal Bridges, Paul George, Zach LaVine, Tyrese Haliburton, all guys who got votes as forwards. Edwards, again, listed as a forward with 14 total points. So good to see him get some votes. I could not, with a straight face, make that argument this year. I wanted to be able to. I came into the year, I think one of my predictions was that he would get votes for all defensive team and all NBA team. He did. He got votes for both. He didn't make either. And I think he lives kind of in that place now where he's a fringe all-star, and he's got a reputation of being better than maybe the production actually is for Anthony Edwards. Next year, if everything plays out like the trajectory is going, McDaniels will be all NBA defensive team, first or second, one of the two, and Edwards will get more votes for all NBA. I don't know if he cracks through next year or not. I think he's probably an all-star again, but there's a difference between all-star and all NBA teams, right? There's essentially twice as many all-stars as there are players that make an all-NBA team. So it makes sense that he's in that world. I think he'll be in that same place next year. Hopefully he makes another leap and we can make the argument for all-NBA at this time next season. But overall, no major surprises other than McDaniels not making a defensive team. And again, that wasn't really a surprise. It's more just a disappointing, I guess, turn of events with how everything breaks out in terms of the position designations. Next week, we're going to get back into the player reviews. We'll do Jaden McDaniels Monday. We'll dive more into the lineup data, the B-ball index data in terms of his defensive impact, also his improvement outside the arc, shooting the basketball, being as good as he was offensively this year was a pleasant surprise. We'll talk about that on Monday. I think we'll do Cat on Tuesday. We'll do Ant on Wednesday. TBD on Thursday, and then Friday we'll have a special show with a national guest for you next week. So it's all upcoming next week on the show. A big thank you to those that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show's free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV, and you can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at BBeacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.